Good morning. Yesterday I was reminded of a passage in Acts where the body, the first church, helped one another and looked out for one another, and there was great unity in helping each other with their needs. And I just want to thank all the men and the women who prepared the food, the men who came to help and work yesterday. I know the Flints are really thankful for just the blessing of the body of Christ and seeing the body work together. It was wonderful fellowship. We praise the Lord for His protection. And we just thank the Lord for the giftings and the talents that He has given this body to do that kind of work and to help one another out. So I'm just thankful for this body, thankful for this family, and just look forward to other times that we'll get to do that kind of work and help people for the glory of God. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter 4 this morning, going back into the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 4, very familiar story, I think a very exciting story. But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue just to prepare our hearts for His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your powerful Word. It is powerful and living. It knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, Lord Father. Lord, it is by Your Word that Your Holy Spirit uses Your Word, Lord, to change us and mold us into the likeness of Christ, Lord. Without Your Word, we cannot be complete or prepared for every good work. We need Your Word. We need You to speak into our lives this morning. Father, we want You to lead us and guide us, to empower us, Lord, overcome and overpower any fleshly desire that we have to reject what Your Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, to oppose the work or oppose the leading that You want to do in our lives. And when we oppose the changes You want to make, Lord, just help us to lay down those, just surrender to You and really fully follow after You, Father, and listen to what Your Spirit wants to say to us this morning, God. We just want to remember the mighty things that You did in and through our lives in the past weeks and months and years, and we want to give You the glory. May you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we learned that God is for you, which means no one can be against you. In Christ, no one can separate you from Him. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. In Christ, we keep on winning that victory over everything that life throws at us. That's what it means to be more than conquerors. We just keep on winning that victory over everything we wrestle with, over everything that tries to weigh us down or hold us back. We have the ultimate victory, even over death. But through our time of prayer and fasting, not only did God teach us much about Himself, He worked in each one of our lives to draw us closer to Himself. Hopefully through that time, you were drawn closer to Him. Hopefully through that time, He worked in your life to change you, to grow you, to help you take steps of obedience toward fulfilling His wonderful plans and His wonderful works in your life. But I know how easy it is for us to forget what God did this week, what God did through the prayer and fasting time, how easy it is to go back the way things used to be and forget the extraordinary things, the extraordinary movement of God in each one of our lives. We need to remember these works of God that He does in our lives. And we need to have spiritual markers that help us remember these God-given victories in our lives. And today we're going to look at Joshua and the people of Israel. And we're going to look at the amazing work that God did in their lives. And we're also going to look at the spiritual marker that God gave them to set up as a reminder of what He did, to help them remember what He did. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to look through different verses and parts of that passage in that whole chapter. So the first thing that we need to learn here from this story that we see here in Joshua 4 is remember the trials that God took you through. We need to remember the trials that God took us through. And we're going to learn why that's important. Before we read verse 1 of that chapter, we're going to just move back a little bit into chapter 3 and read verses 14 through 17. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea. were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. As it says there in verse 1 of chapter 4, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan. Now I want you just to kind of think back, just to kind of imagine in your mind, can you imagine this sight? I mean, we're talking about it. You've been down to the James when the river's flooded. It's looks like chocolate milk, and it's overflowing its banks, and you know it's a rushing river. It's powerful, and it's devastating. You know, I mean, it tears things up. Huge trees flow down through the river. You know, can you imagine their amazement as the waters stop flowing? It just stopped flowing. The priests are standing there in the midst of the river on dry land. But can you also imagine maybe a little bit of fear there? That as they're crossing this river, that the waters might start flowing again? I'm sure it wasn't a leisure stroll through the riverbed. It was probably speed walking at its best. It actually says there in verse 10 that they passed over in haste. And so when the ark, which represented God's presence and power, when it moved into the water, the river stopped flowing. God, as he had done before, when he parted the Red Sea, was now parting the Jordan River so that they could walk across on dry land. And so they hurried across. Now, do you realize as they went across the Jordan here what they were leaving behind? And just think back to where they'd been. God was delivering them out of one of the worst trials of their lives. As they crossed the Jordan, you know that the memory of what happened last time would have come to mind. As they looked around them, as they were walking across the Jordan, they would have known, they would have kind of recognized or noticed the absence of some of their parents, some of their grandparents, who all died in the wilderness. They all suffered their punishment for not crossing the Jordan the first time, not being obedient to God's direction, to God's word, for not trusting God. Everyone crossing the Jordan had spent most of their lives wandering in the desert. Remember, they were there for 40 years. And so this trial was coming to a close. The memory of how God provided for them through all those years would have given them the courage and peace needed to march forward, trusting that God's going to continue to hold back the waters, trusting that God's going to provide what's needed for the journey ahead as he had many times before. Remember, he brought water out of a rock in the desert, and he fed them with manna every single day. You see, there was no promised land without crossing the Jordan. There was no future blessings without going through this trial. God tells us that he has works planned out for us that we should walk in them. It doesn't mean we're going to, but we should walk in them. God has prepared these for us, it says, beforehand, before we were born. But some of those works and some of those blessings that God wants to bring in our lives can only be fulfilled in your life by walking through the trial that you're going through right now, or one that you will face in the future. That's why remembering what God did in your life before is so important. We all know that no one living on this planet is immune to trials and hardship and struggles in this life. We live in a world that has been destroyed by sin. Sin has brought about brokenness in the lives of every single human being on this planet. Sin has brought with it struggles of suffering and injustice and hate and loss of hope and pain and death. But in God's sovereignty and love for us, he is able to use these trials and times of suffering for our good. We looked at that last week in Romans 8:28. How he works all these things out for our good, for those who are called according to his purpose. He is able to take us through these times when it seems that we're wandering in the desert and without any direction. He's able to take us through times where what's in front of us seems impossible to cross, like the Jordan River. Times where we feel alone. Times when we are at the end of our rope, times when we struggle with sin, times when we're facing the consequences of our sin or the bad decisions that we've made. He walks with us through these difficult times of losing someone we love. He walks with us through these times when we feel pain and it seems too much to bear. He's there by our side, empowering us to walk through these trials. And on top of that, He's able to use these things in our lives to bring about good, to bring about spiritual growth, to instill more perseverance, as we see in James chapter 1. He wants to instill that perseverance in us so that we're ready to face what's ahead of us. He's also using these times to extend grace to those around us. As others see us walk through trials with joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. He even uses these times to prepare us for our glorious future with Him in heaven. Therefore, it is important to remember the trials that God took you through. This is so easy to forget what God did in your lives. The peace He gave you before. We easily forget the joy that we've had in the midst of trial before. The power that He gave us to keep moving forward when we thought we had no strength left. It's easy to forget the direction He gave you when you didn't know where to turn. You didn't know what decision to make. The hope that He gave you when the future looked bleak. Or maybe when you thought all was lost. Remembering what God did during the previous trials helps us face what's ahead. We look back and we remember God's nature of love and power. We're reminded of that He is truly for us, that He truly will give us what we need and provide for us. We're reminded that we can trust in Him. We can trust our whole lives to Him because we remember this powerful work that He did in our lives as He took us through a trial in our lives. We remember that. And it just gives us hope and strength to press on. In fact, we need to have these spiritual markers in our lives so that we can live the abundant life. This is really important. Remember what God did gives us the encouragement and confidence to face the future with hope, to face the future with a peace and resting in God and what He has for us, even though we don't know what it is, even though the future is unknown. We can live that abundant life because we're remembering what God did in the past. It just helps us have the right perspective about God, His power, trials, about the future. It's good to remember the things, the trials that God took us through. But that is not the only reason why we remember what God did in our lives. We also need to remember what God did in our lives so that we can give testimony to others about the great and awesome work that God did, the great and awesome God that we serve. Remember your spiritual markers and give testimony. Let's look there again at verse 1 down to verse 7 of chapter 4, Joshua chapter 4. Remember your spiritual markers and give testimony. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And so when everyone had crossed the Jordan and they were safely on the other side, God commanded Joshua and the people to set up 12 stones by which to remember what God did that day on their behalf. So taking 12 stones, they took these 12 stones from the river where the priest had stood with the ark. 12 stones that would have been shaped and molded by the flowing of this river over the years. You would have known that these are river rock from the midst of the river. These stones would have been a spiritual marker for them, a sign to give remembrance. Each tribe would take part in this by setting a man up to go into there from each tribe to take up these stones. And so each tribe would be setting up this memorial. They'd all be part of it. Everyone was supposed to be involved in remembering what God did that day on their behalf. This would be a sign from God for all the people. Now, they were commanded to place these stones in a place where they would camp that night. It was a place called Gilgal. And that means God has rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. That's what that word means. Gilgal. It's a place where God has rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. We see that in Joshua 5:9. Now, this place that they camped was 7 miles from the Jordan River. So they were going to carry these stones for 7 miles. It's about 2 miles from Jericho, which would be their next stop. Now, this place would become Joshua's center of operations. It was also God's providence that they crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. It tells us that they crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. That was exactly 40 years from the day that they set apart the lamb when they were in Egypt, when God was going to deliver them. If you remember, before they consecrated themselves, they consecrated this lamb, they set it apart for the Passover, the meal that they would take. And so to think about this, they're crossing the Jordan at this time as a consecrated lamb. They are obeying the Lord, crossing the river, and then they would celebrate the Passover. Now, if you remember, they're celebrating not just the Passover, they're celebrating this reminder of God is going to give us the promised land. He's going to give us this promised land. And so here they are celebrating the Passover while camping in the promised land. They're here. They've crossed the Jordan. God has brought them into the promised land. Very significant that God had them cross at that particular time, and they would cross and they would celebrate the Passover. But we also see that these wonderful works of God were not to be forgotten. They weren't just for them at that very moment. These were meant to last for generations, even for all time. This would be a sign for generations to come. Even as we read this wonderful work of God today, we are challenged, we are encouraged by it. But how would Israel's future generations come to know what that little pile of stones meant? I mean, when someone came along and they saw this little pile of river rock set up there in Gilgal, how would they know what that meant? Well, his first instruction here was to parents. He says there, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So when your children see these stones, we are to tell them that they were to tell them about what God did. How he held back the flow of water of the Jordan, how he stopped the water so that they could walk across on dry land. And that would be the beginning of the conversation with their children. Just think about it for a minute. That would be just the beginning, because they would be like, oh, but you know, there's more to the story than that. There's more to the story than just us crossing the river. Let me tell you about how God brought us out of slavery. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you, this isn't the first time he parted the waters for us. Let me tell you about when he parted the Red Sea and we crossed on dry land. Let me tell you how important it is that we obey God's instruction, that we obey his word. Let me tell you, children, your great, great grandfather, he didn't obey God's instruction, and he wandered around in the desert for 40 years, and he died there. Your grandfather died there. And then we obeyed God, and he led us across the Jordan. He conquered the promised land and the land that we live right now. What a testimony that would be to their children. It would all stem from this spiritual marker, this little pile of stones, as parents gave testimony to what God did in the past. Passing on the marvelous, extraordinary works of God to the next generation. See, the family is the primary place of learning for the child. See, God has given parents this very special God-given role in giving their children revelation from God. Okay? Who he is and all of his glory and all of his wonderful works. We are to pass that on to them. That's our responsibility. Parents are to teach your children theology. You know, who is God? What has he done? His ways. We're supposed to pass that on. What it means to follow him. What God desires of us. The family is the place where children learn about salvation, about what it means to put your faith in Christ, what it means to live and follow Christ, what it means when you face a trial or when you face a hard time or you face a decision, and how you always go to Christ for the answer, how you always go to the Word, that we don't live by the world, that we live by God's Word. That's where the children learn how to do that. They're hearing it from us. We're not dependent on the church to give them. The church comes and helps teach and guide and build up your children. But it's parents' responsibility to pass these things on to your children. That's the primary learning place. That's the way God designed the family. That's what happens now when the family is broken up and falls to pieces. When there's no testimony to give to your children about who God is and what it means to follow Him, we see destruction. We see broken communities. We see a broken nation. We see a broken world. I mean, if parents don't walk closely with the Lord, what spiritual markers will we have to share with our children? What spiritual markers will we have that will open doors for us to share about God and all of His power and His glory? For example, your children should know about your testimony. Your testimony of how you came to faith in Christ. They should hear about how God led you to Himself. They need to hear about how you heard the good news about Christ one time and you acknowledged your sin and you repented of your sin and how you surrendered your life to Christ and you began to follow Him and He's changed you from the inside out. I used to not be this way, but God changed me because I put my faith in Christ. And they need to hear about how now He empowers you to live every day of your life. They should notice these spiritual things in your life. This should give us opportunity to give testimony about what God has done. For example, when your kids say, "Daddy, why do you read your Bible? Why do you spend time praying every morning or every night? Who are you praying to, Daddy? Why do you love Jesus so much? Why do you love me so much? Why do we go to church every Sunday? Why do we serve others? Mommy, why do you treat that person with kindness when they were so mean to you? Why have you stopped talking about people like you did before? Well, God taught me that gossip was sin. It ruins my life and brings destruction and bitterness and jealousy. And so I repented of my sin before God, and He has given me the power to show kindness and to love others instead of return evil." What are the spiritual markers in your life that you can remember and give testimony to? What did God do in your life during our prayer and fasting time? What did God do last year during the pandemic? What did He do the year before? How can we give testimony to our children about the power and glory of God, His supernatural work in our lives? But you see, this instruction also was for every follower of Christ. Verse 23 and 24 states this, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. As the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." You see, God performed these miraculous signs so that the whole world would know the power and glory of God. Think about the songs we sang this morning about our salvation. Your salvation is the greatest miracle of all. There's not a greater miracle on this planet. Even parting the Red Sea, even parting the Jordan, even feeding them for 40 years in the desert with manna, there's no greater miracle than your eternity being changed from certain destruction in hell to everlasting peace in heaven. There is no greater miracle than that. And so your salvation, the greatest miracle of all, is power. It displays God's glory as He changes you. It displays the power of God. It's a testimony to the world. We all give testimony to God through our testimony, through our changed lives. Listen to the words of 1 Peter 2:9. I love this because here God is describing us. He's describing His children, those who put their faith in Christ. Listen to what He says. 1 Peter 2:9, He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That we may proclaim the excellencies of Him. As we go out and we share the good news about Christ, we also share a testimony of what God has done in our lives. We share the excellencies of God. We give Him glory. We give Him glory. He's called us. He has called us out of darkness into His light. When God answered your prayers, you share about that. When God gave you peace that surpassed all understanding during that trial in your life, you share about that excellency of God, that you give glory to God when He gave you that inexpressible joy when you thought all was lost. And yet you kept moving forward when He gave you hope. When He gave you hope during that time when you were so lonely and you had such pain and you felt like, I can't go any farther. I can't do anything else. And God gave you hope and power to persevere. We need to remember our spiritual markers and give testimony about them to our children and to others around us. And so I placed some cards there on the seats around you. You can take a few of them. Don't just take one. I want you to take those spiritual markers. They're just a card. It's just a bookmark. And I want you to write down one thing on each one that God did in your life. Just one thing. There's some lines on there for you to write. This is your spiritual marker. This is your testimony to what God has done in your life. And I want you to put them in your Bible then, and these are then reminders for you. And maybe as you're reading through, you come upon one of these bookmarks that has your spiritual marker, remembering what God did in your life during the prayer and fasting time or the pandemic or some other time during your life, and you write that down. Or maybe when you use it as a bookmark and you read it, you're able to take that and remember it and then use it to give testimony to those around you, giving testimony to the powerful work of God in your life. Think about how that, what open doors that would bring. Maybe one morning, you're reading through your Bible and you come across one of those spiritual markers and then you're off to work. And then you remember that thing that God did in your life. And then at your workplace, God opens up this door because you remembered the work that He did and you're able to give glory to the person you have at work. And it opens the door not just to share about God's glory and awesome power and the hope or peace He gave you, but you're able to share the gospel with Him. You see, it just opens the door as we start to remember the things that God did in our lives. These spiritual markers, we can give testimony to how great and awesome God is. Because people around the world have all kinds of ideas about who God is. All kinds of their own definitions, not what it says in the Word of God. People need to hear about who God really is, what He's done in your life, what He did for all of us on the cross. But not only should we remember the trials that God took us through, not only should we remember our spiritual markers and give testimony to God, lastly, I want us to remember God's victory and keep moving forward. Look there at verses 15 and 18 of chapter 4. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up on dry ground. The waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. And you're wondering, how does this have anything to do with moving forward? Here they're standing on the other side of the Jordan. As soon as the priest brought the ark out of the river flowed again. Not only that, it says it went back to flowing according, like it's overflowing its banks. This was normal for this particular season of time. It was by the presence and power of God that the river was held back, but as soon as the ark was taken out, the river flowed back again to its normal place. God had just given them victory over the 40 years of wandering in the desert. It was now behind them. God had rolled away the reproach of Egypt from them. Now, here they stand, looking back to the other side where they had stood that morning. The rushing river had now covered their path. You would have seen the tracks of the carts and the feet and everything coming across, the animals and everything that came across that river. And it's all covered up now by the water. And all that water is flowing between them and their past. Between them and their old life. There was no turning back now. God had powerfully helped them cross the Jordan. God had done a powerful work in their midst that only He could do. He had taken them through the trial. He had given them victory and He had moved them forward into His glorious will according to His glorious plan for their lives. And now it was the time for them to begin a new exciting chapter in their lives. Follow God into the promised land and watch Him do this powerful work. But they knew what lay ahead of them. You see, from man's point of view, the armies that were in front of them were much greater than their own. The cities that lay before them were too fortified too strong to conquer. Now, the wars and battles from before them would overwhelm just about anyone. Yet they had taken a step of obedience. They'd followed God through their trial in the desert and across the river of impossibility into the promised land where God said that He would give them. Putting their hope, putting all their trust in the promise of God and following Him and trusting in Him to do what only He could do. Remembering what God did is not only important for encouragement and for witness. Remembering what God did in the past gives us hope and confidence to continue following God into the future. To continue walking in obedience to His Word. Moving forward, not backwards. These 12 stones would be great motivation to move forward and obey God. He's worked in my life before. Do you remember what He did? I know that He will be faithful. He's always been faithful to His promise. I know that He will provide what I need to move forward into the unknown, to follow Him. But like so many times, as we take a step forward, we take two steps back. We get busy living life according to our culture. And because of that, we become weak in our own walk with the Lord. And we allow our flesh, our own will, to rule our hearts. And we begin to believe the lies. Instead of looking back at spiritual markers of God's powerful work in our lives, we look back at our past failures. We look back at our past failures, and our past tells us that our failures make us no longer usable. That we're not worth it to God. That we failed Him before, and we will fail Him again. That we don't have what it takes to go any farther. That we can't take one more step. Or, on the other hand, we might decide that my will is more important, and I want to go back to the way things were. Just as the Israelites, we too have a tendency to want to go back to the way the things used to be. We have lost sight of the reality of our past. When in the past, we were discontent and wanted to change. But now in the future, we are discontent and want to go back to the past. It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing when we let our flesh have control of our hearts and we begin to live by our own terms, not God's terms. And we begin to want things that our flesh wants because our flesh is in control and the Spirit is not in control. And we start to do things we shouldn't do. And so we take a step forward in fear, which God has not given us a spirit of fear. We turn back. You know, in verse 9, Joshua also sets up 12 stones in the midst of the river where the priest stood. Now, we don't see that God told him to do that. And so we don't know exactly why he put them there. But I believe it was another reminder, another memorial of what God did that day. Maybe a reminder not to turn back. You know, although it was the season where the river was high, there would also be a dry season as well. Just like any time. You know, sometimes the river gets low because it gets dry, and then when the floods come, the river comes up high. So now the rocks that he put in the middle of the river, when the water came back, those rocks are hidden by the high waters. And so it's a reminder of that old life that it's buried. Now they were able to walk in new life and not turn back. Stones that someone could say, hey, there's a pile of 12 stones in the river, but we can't see them. And so we have to believe by faith that God, what God did that day. Because the river's flowing. How could anybody cross? Let me tell you, God did it. Just like it is when we follow God, we follow by faith. But in the dry season when the water was down, would they be able to see the stones piled there in the middle of the river? Do you think they would be able to see that? Maybe for a short time. Before the floods came, maybe it was a visible reminder to those who attempted to turn back and cross the river to their old life. Would it be a reminder of what God did by His power in their lives? Joshua had been with these wandering Israelites for a while. He saw the nature of people to want to turn back and disobey God's commands. That's why these spiritual markers are so important, so that we can remember what God did. So that when we get ready to turn back, we see these and we're reminded, do you remember what God did? We don't want to go back to the past. We don't need to fear the future because look what He did. I mean, haven't we all been in that place where we're tempted to go back to our old life? Just as bad, tempted to stay where we are and never move forward. not follow God into a new chapter of our lives. We're not willing to go outside of our comfort zone. We're not willing to give up something that we deem more important than obedience to God. We're holding on to this one thing, whatever it may be. You're holding on to that, and you love that so much, and you're not willing to give it up. It could even be sin that you deem not sin. It could be pride that keeps you where you are. It could be selfishness that looks inwardly instead of outwardly, and you're not willing to help someone or step out in obedience. And so you just stay right there. When God calls us to move forward and follow Him, to die to self and take up our cross and obey His direction and in our lives and forsake our own desires and do His will, we need His help. And not only do we need His help, we need tremendous courage. See, it not only takes humility and surrender of the heart to follow God, it takes courage and power to follow God's direction. Courage and power that only come from God. It's why God told Joshua on the onset of this journey, when God called Joshua, He says, I want you to lead the people into the promised land. I'm sure Joshua had all kinds of feelings. He was by Moses' side the whole time. But now Moses was gone, and the responsibility lay on Joshua by God to lead these 2 million people into war and battle to conquer the promised land. And God tells him, He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua. The Creator of all things, the Almighty, is with you, Joshua. I'm going to take you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to do this thing on behalf of my glory, He says. He's going to conquer the promised land. He's going to give this land to the people. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:20 that He is with us to the end of the age. Last week we were reminded that God is for you and no one can be against you. No one can separate you from His love. You see, as we step out of, take steps of obedience to what the Lord wants us to do, we need to remember the victories that God brought about in our lives. We must remind ourselves of who God is and what He desires of us. We must remember that He is with us. And therefore, there's no need to fear. There's no need to fear what's ahead. The world fears. We see it every day. The world lives in fear of what the future holds. Constantly. Every decision is made based on fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Power, love, and self-control. So we can move forward remembering those victories that God has brought about in our lives without fear. We can move forward with great confidence, with great courage that comes from God, with great hope. There's no need for fear because God is with us. And we realize that God's ways are always best. That God has my best in mind. That He knows the future and I can trust Him as I take steps of obedience forward. He's going to empower you. Whatever my flesh says about my lack of ability, it doesn't matter. God is my sufficiency. Whatever my flesh or the world says about the future and how uncertain it is, I don't need to worry about that because I know God is leading me, He's with me, and He will provide and He will empower. His way is best. Remember the trials that God took you through. Remember the spiritual markers that God has placed into your life and give testimony to those. Remember God's victories and keep moving forward. Allow these reminders of God's working in your life to strengthen your faith, to draw you closer to God, to keep your attention on Him and not be distracted by the world. The next generation, the generation that is sitting around us right here, they need to hear. They need to be reminded of the power and glory of God. It cannot be just, that's my parents' faith. At some point in time, they need to hear those wonderful things and it needs to line up with God's Word, the testimony of your life as a parent, as an uncle, as a grandparent. They need to see that. So we pass on to the next generation. May we not fail the next generation by not passing on the knowledge and glory of God. We can look back right now. And there's been many generations who have failed at passing on the glory and the knowledge of God. Remember these spiritual markers and pass it on to your children. Pass it on to those around you. Put to death all the things that people think. The false narratives, the false truths that people think about who God is and who Jesus is and what He came to do for us. Put it to death by the testimony of what God has done in your life. Put it to death by the truth of God's Word as we share, as we proclaim His Word to others. As the worship team comes up, take this time to glance back at the past. Maybe this week, maybe God did something in your life. Maybe a spiritual marker that you want to write down. Like you were at the end of your rope. You thought there was no hope left, and God gave you strength. Could be something simple. Maybe God gave you a word at one specific time that gave you hope, a promise from His Word, and you write that down so you can remember it. Take time today, this week, to begin to think about those things. I know that God's did things in my life, but I know that I've forgotten some of them. Some people don't take time to journal, and so you can't look back at those journals and see. So this is just a small thing to write down those spiritual markers throughout this week, just to be thinking about that so that you can remember what God did in your life. So that you have the courage and faith and hope to press on into the future, knowing what God did in the past, knowing what He's doing right here today. Let's give Him the glory as we sing this last song. Let's remember the spiritual markers that He has done, the marvelous work He's done in our lives.